May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the risen one. Amen. Today I want to talk about the epistle from Revelation 1, where the risen Lord comes to John, the apostle, on the island of Patmos and appears to him, and also tie in the gospel lesson as the risen one comes to the disciples, and then a week later to Thomas. Let us pray. Lord, your word is a great trumpet that calls us to believe, to repent, to follow. Help us now and always gladly hear your word with great faith. Grant us all the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He is here. About a third of you believe that he's here. If he's not here, go ahead and go home. I mean, don't come for Pastor I. We're not worth coming for an hour, are we? Or an hour and a half? If you don't really believe he's here, the risen one, you may as well go home, go to McDonald's. Too bad for you because he is here. He is here. He is here indeed. Hallelujah. Last Sunday, we learned the fact that Christ is alive. The stone rolled away. There were the cloths in the tomb. No Jesus. The angels there announcing it. We learned the fact that Christ indeed is alive, that he's risen. And now this Sunday, where is he? It's wonderful that he's alive, but where is he? He is with the church. He's with us when we gather. That's where he is. And all the readings teach us that. The gospel, where's the risen Lord come to? He comes to a bunch of scared men, his disciples, his church, scared, unbelieving as they are. He comes to them right in their midst. And then Thomas a week later. In Revelation, where does he come to? He comes to John. Who cares about John out there on some island like Alcatraz, the island of Patmos, some little island? Who cares about him? He's forgotten. Not by Jesus. He comes out to John, and John's on the Lord's Day in the Spirit, worshiping God. Right in the midst of worship on the Lord's Day, the risen one comes. So thus he comes on this Lord's Day as we are in the Spirit worshiping. And in the first reading, we have the apostles doing great signs and wonders. People gather around the apostles. Why? Because they're apostles? No, because the risen one is among them. And they carry out all these signs and wonders because God is with them. The risen one is among them, and they come for the risen Lord. He is here. He is here indeed. Hallelujah. Okay, what's he doing here? Well, we learned four things today of what he does when he comes to his church. First of all, we learn that when he comes, the risen one comes to his church, he comes very, very, very close. He comes so close, we can touch him. The risen Son of God, the all-glorious Son of God, the one who is exalted and ascended, the God who reigns the heavens and the earth, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the one who fills the earth, that risen one comes right here so we can touch him. And that doesn't bring you to church? Nothing will. That doesn't bring you to church. You can touch God? Yes. That's what the risen one does with the disciples in John 20. He doesn't speak outside the door. You guys got me locked out. Hey, I got some news for you. He doesn't hover over them. He comes right through the locked door and says, here I am. And Thomas touches him. Shows him his hands inside. I'm right here, right in your midst. Come and touch. Right here. Breathes on them the Spirit. He's right there. With every blessing of heaven. And then in the Revelation text, there's John out there. And the risen one comes right among him. The glorious one with the white hair. Face shines like the sun. Right there, he puts his right hand on John. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Peace be with you. Your sins are forgiven. He comes very, very close. And thus we have his word. When we hear the word, that's the breath of Jesus. The breath of the Spirit. We have communion, yet touch his body and touch his blood. You actually eat of it today for forgiveness. He's right here, very, very close. What a loving God. Weak, sinful, doubting, unbelieving people. That's where he goes. And so today too. I like to, on a nice day, go out on my back patio. And sometimes when I go back on my back patio, I'm greeted by something. Guess what I'm greeted by? Bumblebees and wasps. Buzzing around. You know how they look at you and they buzz around. So what do? Well, I go back inside the house. All right, I'm not wanted out there. I'll come back in. And then I go back out about a minute later. What's my attitude when I go back out? Do I go back on saying, hey, arms open, bumblebees and wasps, let's have a group hug, please. Come on inside the house. Let's reconcile. Let's be friends. My patio is your patio. Come on in. My house is yours. No, I come out with a tennis racket. It's time for some tennis practice, if you know what I mean. Swat, swat, swat. That's why that right arm is so big and powerful, Robert. Right there it is. Get off my patio. Who do you think you are? Get out of here. The Son of God comes to earth, and we are worse than bumblebees and wasps. And we kill him. Don't just sting him. We kill him. He goes into the tomb, but he comes back. He comes back on Easter. What's his attitude? With his mighty big arm, he's going to swat all the disciples. Get out of here. Get off my earth. You betrayed me. Leave. You're all going to hell. You killed me. No. He comes with his arms open. Peace be with you. You're forgiven. What a God we have. Secondly, when he comes, ties in closely with the idea of being close. You can touch him, hear him, have his breath on you. He comes to cleanse. He comes with forgiveness. Make no mistake about it, when the risen one comes, it's all about the forgiveness of sins. That's what it's about, the forgiveness of sins, that then we have peace with God, we have joy, we have the power of the Spirit, we can do all things for him, and we're going to go to heaven. Notice as he comes to John, John describes him. You want to know what the risen one looks like? Well, perhaps this is a vision of the risen Lord. Whether he looks like this continuously, we don't know, but it's how he appears to John anyway. And John says that he was wearing a long robe with a golden sash around his chest. First description. A long robe and a golden sash around his chest. That's a description of the high priest. Christ is saying, I'm your priest. I'm your mediator. I sacrificed my life for you. Remember that, John. Christ doesn't appear as a judge with a long black robe and a gavel. All right, judgment day, John. Doesn't come as a policeman with a badge and a gun. Let's go get all the bad guys. And by the way, what you been up to, John, out here on an island? Doesn't come as a king with a scepter sitting on a throne. You're going to obey me, buddy, whether you want to or not. He comes as the high priest. The high priest would sacrifice, wouldn't he? But Jesus doesn't bring an animal to sacrifice because he himself was the sacrifice. He reminds John of that. You're forgiven. You're cleansed, in other words. You're forgiven. Your sins are washed away. You're cleansed because I died for you. And isn't that what Jesus does with his disciples too? Shows them his hands and side. Notice the resurrection doesn't somehow dissolve the scars and evaporate the scars. The scars are still there. Remember the cross. Remember the price. You are forgiven, but don't ever take it for granted. Forgiveness isn't magic. Forgiveness costs the life of God's Son. Remember the cross. Remember the sacrifice. He is the high priest. Don't ever take it for granted, church, because he knows we will. You know, I read an article this week called The Cheapest People in America. And it noted some stories of how cheap people are in these days of bad economy. It talked about one family who reused their trash bags. They collected trash in a bag, like we all do probably, and then the truck came by, and they ran out of the truck and dumped their garbage in the truck and took their bad bag back and reused their bag. Now, that's pretty cheap. Here's the cheapest story they had, though. They had a story of a little restaurant, a mom-and-pop joint, that served sandwiches. And you know what they reused? This restaurant actually reused the sandwich toothpicks. If they weren't chewed on or broken, they would rewash the toothpicks and reuse the toothpicks. Not even I would probably eat at that place, okay? That's cheap. Are you cheap? It's okay to be cheap, to be frugal. Not a bad idea right now to be cheap and frugal. Need to be. Our God is saying that he's not cheap. Praise God, he's not cheap. Our God gave his life. Look at the scars. I'm not cheap. I'm not stingy. I gave you my life. I'm your sacrifice, your mediator. You're cleansed, you're washed, you're forgiven. But never take it for granted. It's not magic. It cost me my life. So we dare never hear we're forgiven and go, ho-hum. We dare never go, ho-hum. We go, hallelujah. Say it with me. Hallelujah. Thirdly, he comes as one who has conquered. And this is the real meat of the Revelation text anyway. He comes as one who has conquered, who's overcome, who's won. He's not a loser. He's not a weakling. He's overcome and conquered everything. Notice the description of him. We're told there he has white hair. The hairs of his head were white like wool, as white as snow. That doesn't mean he's old. And that he's in a wheelchair and has a cane and can barely get around. I'm Jesus, I'm here to help you. It means he's overcome. He's all wise. He's eternal. He's pure and holy. Remember his hair and face at the cross. The crown of thorns on his head. Blood all over the place. And now white hair. He's overcome. He rules. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. That's the idea. And there's more. It says his eyes were like a flame of fire. Remember the cross. His eyes were closed in death. And now flames of fire, which means he's overcome, he's alive. And the fire is the Holy Spirit and love. Don't think of the fire as judgment. Much more the Holy Spirit and love. He is zealous. He sees the needs of his people. He's zealous and eager to meet every need by the power of his Spirit. The fire. He's overcome is the idea. We read, his feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. Wow, there's the picture of strength. His feet on the cross had nails in them, suspended on a cross. Now his feet are like burnished bronze, having gone through the fire. He went through the fires of hell and overcame it all. Now he's immovable. You can't knock him over again. He's strong. He's overcome. He's conquered, is the idea. And then it says that his whole appearance, his face was like shining sun. His face was like the shining sun. Again, you recall his face at the cross with blood. The thorns, the pain, the agony. Oh, sacred head now wounded. And now his face is like the sun. He's overcome. He's won. He's conquered. Sins are forgiven. Death defeated. The devil defeated. He's risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. And therefore, don't be afraid. What's John got to be afraid of out there on the island? And what do you have to be afraid of in your own life? When the risen one is right with you and puts his hand on you and says, don't be afraid today. What is it that you're facing that I haven't already overcome? Sick? Lost your job? Great guilt over sins you've committed? You're dying? I've overcome all that. What you're so afraid of? I'm right here. He's showing John the future. John's on this island. The church is being persecuted in John's day. Christians are being thrown in prison. Christians are dying. Christians are being burned up on torches. Nero did that earlier than Revelation. He stuck them up on poles and burned them. Christians are thinking, we're done. The church is over. We're persecuted. We're scattered. We're nothing. And the risen one comes and says, no, I've won. Don't be afraid, John, even though you're suffering. Don't be afraid, church, you're suffering and scattered and sick. You're going to live. This is your future, heaven, glory. You're going to shine like the sun. You're going to rise again. So don't be afraid of anything. Your future is secure. You know, I read a cute story of a little kindergartner who was going by a cemetery with her mom and dad. And she said to her parents, a 5-year-old said, I know why they put those heavy things on top of the graves. Her parents asked, well, why? And the kindergartner said, so the dead people can't get up. So the dead people can't get up. Is that why we have headstones? The little girl may have been cute, but she's wrong. On the final day when Christ returns, all the dead people will get up. Your loved ones in Christ will get up. We will all rise again. The headstone, sin, death, and hell can't keep us in the grave, is what the Lord is saying to his apostle John and to the disciples. I will rise. I will rise indeed. Hallelujah. Finally, he comes as one who is calling. He comes as one who is calling John, calling the 12 disciples. They have a job to do. He comes here today calling you. You have a job to do. We have work left. Notice what he tells John. You're going to have to write down the vision. Write it down, John. I have a job for you. You're out here on the island. You're not here to twiddle your thumbs, John. You want to write down the revelation and give it to the 7 churches. I have a job to spread the word of God. And the rest of Revelation is the sermon. I mentioned John is in the Spirit worshiping God, and this is the sermon given to John, if you will. The rest of Revelation is like God giving John the sermon. This is the sermon on this Lord's Day. Now go take it to the churches. Share my word. Don't be afraid. Spread the word of God. That's your job. He's calling John. And to the disciples in John 20, right after he says, peace be with you, shows him his hands inside. Peace be with you. Breathes on the Holy Spirit. Then he says, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. You guys got a job to do. Don't sit here scared in this building. Go out and make disciples of all nations. I'll be with you. Nothing to be afraid of. Now go. And the meat of the Revelation text is, in the description of the risen Lord, is his voice. I haven't mentioned his voice yet to conclude. Notice there's three things said about the voice of the risen one, because his voice is powerful. His voice is described as a trumpet. The word of God is not a little whisper. It's a trumpet. The word of God, the voice of Christ, is described as the roar of many waters. Wow. The roar of many waters, like the many, many oceans and waterfalls. That's the word of God. Not a trickle you can barely hear, makes no difference. But the roar of many waterfalls and oceans is the word of God. And then finally, a sharp two-edged sword comes out of his mouth. The word of God's a sword. So three illustrations of the word of God for John and for us. A trumpet, rushing water, and a sword. The idea for John and for us is the word of God is not weak. The word of God we preach and teach is not some pitiful, ineffective little thing that no one cares about. The word of God's a trumpet that calls people. It's rushing water that cleanses and forgives and renews and gives refreshment and new life. Knocks down sin, death, and hell for people. The word of God's a sword that penetrates. We may think it goes in one ear and out the other. It doesn't. It penetrates. And God is working. So, church, preach that word. Never get up. Never give up. Teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It works. Read an article called The Next Big Thing. Some inventions were given in this article. You know what's coming in America? Some great inventions, supposedly. Here's some new inventions that are coming. A bionic eyeball for the blind. An anti-smoking vaccine. Here's one. A colonoscopy in a capsule. Anybody have a colonoscopy yet? I haven't had one yet. Don't want to have one. They're going to have it so you can just swallow a capsule with a camera, and that camera will just reveal everything about the colon. Don't have to go through all the other stuff. Supposedly it's coming. A four-day work week is coming. Four-day work week. That means we work one day, right? Cut it in half. Well, no Wednesday church. Supposedly these are the next big things in America, next new inventions. Baloney. I'll tell you the next big thing. It's the big thing that's been happening 2,000 years. And that's that Jesus Christ lives. And Jesus Christ forgives. And Jesus Christ saves. That's the big thing that we tell the world. The big invention is two pieces of wood called the cross. And we go spread the good news of the big thing that God has done. And we never stop. He is here. He is here indeed. Hallelujah. He is very close. He's here to cleanse. He is here as one who's conquered everything. Don't be afraid. And he is here calling his church to go and share the good news. Praise be to our risen one who right now is right here. And soon we touch after we've heard. Wow. Hallelujah. Say it with me. Hallelujah. One more time louder. Hallelujah. Let's rise and confess our faith. The Nicene Creed in